Well, let's get into the Word of God tonight, and let's start out with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we approach the Word. God, we're grateful that we've been able to worship you in a time of praise and worship and being ministered to through music. Father God, to be reminded that it took a miracle, Lord, and to get a charge from you that we're going to have church and clap our hands and testify. And Father, we've been doing all that, and now we're ready to open our ears and our hearts to receive the Word of God. And Father, we make our mind up that this word is what we receive is the truth, not the opinions of men, but what the Word of God says, Lord. And just open our eyes tonight, give us revelation in it. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. We've been teaching for, this is the fourth week, teaching on roadblocks to healing. I taught some time back, I taught a series on the path to healing. Now, we could have called it the road to healing, and this is roadblocks. These are things that get in your way to keep you from getting there. Now, we believe around here that healing is God's will. He said, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health. He said, if you're sick, have the elders of the church anoint you and pray in the prayer of faith, and anoint you in the name of the Lord Jesus, pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith to save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. But things can get in the way of that. And we've been dealing with some of them. And some of these things I talked about are kind of like sacred cows to a lot of people. I could make some people mad talking about some of the things I've been talking about. But some of these roadblocks, and primarily they deal not with wrong living. Wrong living can get in your way of being healed, but we've been dealing mostly with wrong believing. And some of the things that people believe that gets in the way of them being healed. And you know, you can see this in reality because sometimes, for example, in this church. Now, tonight, I think, was about the longest list we ever read of people that are like in the hospital and having surgery and all that. We don't have too many people doing it too often. Just so happened we got a bunch of them, but then you hear testimonies already how the Lord's already healing them. And I've been in churches myself in the past that if anybody in the whole church in the history of the thing ever got healed dramatically, I didn't know about it. We just had scores of them around here. We've had people with cancer that the doctor said there wasn't any hope for them and just see it go away. And so what you believe makes a whole lot of difference in whether you get healed or not. And you can be a good Christian person, but your believing's wrong on the subject of healing and you can't enjoy the benefits of that. And one thing we talked about one roadblock to healing is the idea that God is the one that sends sickness on people. Now, John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. He said, the thief is come to steal, kill, and destroy. Hebrews 2:14 says that Jesus came to destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And then another roadblock to healing was that my healing may not be God's will. I'll tell you something. You can't get anything from God until you settle it in your mind that it's his will for you to have it. Whether it's healing, prosperity, or whether it's soul salvation, getting born again, until you settle it in your mind that that's God's will for you, you're not in a position to receive it. And then a third one we talked about was Hezekiah used a poultice, and that is putting your confidence in doctors and medicine. We believe in doctors and medicine. I go to them myself. We got all these people we prayed for have been going to doctors. We thank God for the expertise they had. But just like when Brenda was testifying, even her doctor acknowledged that healing comes from somewhere else, not from him. And most good doctors will tell you that they can't heal anybody. They can treat your symptoms and give you some chemicals that might help you. But so you're going to have a touch from God to be healed. And then roadblock number four we were in last week was Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletum, and I spent the whole time. I thought I was going to get a lot farther than that last week, but I spent the whole time talking about that because people will use that to show you, well, see here, God must not want to heal us all the time because Paul said right here in the Bible that he went off and left Trophimus sick at Miletum. Well, if it was God's will to heal him, Paul would have healed him. But see, Paul would have told you himself he couldn't heal anybody. God's the healer, and healing comes by grace through faith. We don't know where Trophimus was, but another thing we don't know about that situation, that healing is not always instantaneous. Healing is most often a process. Well, Trophimus, the fact that he was left at Miletum sick doesn't prove that he wasn't in the process of being healed. But then another thing, Jerry Coates came by the office and pointed out to me the other day, he spends a lot of time with his nose in the book and studying and finding out things, and that word sick And I looked in W.E. Vine's dictionary while he was sitting there talking to me and confirmed what he was saying to me. Saw it right there before my eyes that in when Paul said, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick, it wasn't a word like sick as in a disease, but it was sick like, I believe, Jerry, if I remember right, it was just kind of like being tired and wore out, wasn't it? He just wore himself out, tired and wore out. That's what that word for sick meant. So, but the point is, the fact that Paul went off and left him there in that condition does have absolutely nothing to do with anybody being able to prove that, therefore, God don't want to heal us. But people use that, and when they believe that, then it gets in their way to healing. It's a roadblock. Now, tonight I'm going to go on to number 5 roadblock, and the order of these doesn't make any difference because they're just some of these. If you've read Brother Kenneth Hagin's book, I don't remember the name of it, but it's a book dealing with healing. Some of these roadblocks are in there. I just used his roadblock, and I teach it my own way. I didn't go read the book and copy what he said or copy one of his sermons, but some of these I got from there. But others are just as the Lord gives them to me, and I think of them. I say, well, here's a roadblock right here. And so one I'm talking about tonight is the notion, and I bet you've heard this from sick people, sick Christian people, I'm suffering for the glory of God. I'm suffering for the glory of God. God's going to get glory out of this. Well, now, God can get glory out of about anything, but, you know, most of the time when people say that, they're the ones that's getting the glory themselves. Everybody's bragging on them, what a brave soldier they are and what a good Christian they are, and hardly hear anybody bragging on God in a situation like that. But I want you to turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 11, and let's look a little bit at this idea about whether or not you can suffer for the glory of God in your sickness. In John chapter 11, and way we're going to approach this is by looking to see in the Bible. See, when I prayed, we decided that the Word of God is what we believe, not the notions of men. And let's look in the Bible and see what it is in the Bible that brings glory to God. And in John 11, and I'll just start reading at the first verse. John 11 is when Lazarus gets raised from the dead. Said, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now see, you could read that, and if you didn't know how the story turns out, you could get the idea Jesus is saying that this sickness is what brings glory to God. But he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Then we go on down to verse 39. I'm not going to read this whole thing. You've heard it before, but verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? He said, this sickness is that God may be glorified. He said, stick around. You fixing to see the glory of God. Now listen, Lazarus, the sickness that he had, nobody saw the glory of God. Him laying in the grave dead, nobody saw the glory of God. They fixing to see the glory of God. And then we go down to verse 41 and it says, and then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now, I tell you what, the glory of God will bring people to belief. Now they didn't believe just because they saw Lazarus sick, and they didn't believe because they saw him die. They believed when they saw that dead man come out of the grave. And Jesus said, you fixing to see the glory of God. I've been around enough situations that was somewhere close to that to just imagine what them folks said when Lazarus come out of the grave. They said, glory! Because when you're in the presence of the glory of God, it seems like that's just one of the things that wants to come out of your mouth. Glory to God. Well, you don't have to say that. You can say praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, when you've seen the glory of God, see, they didn't see the glory of God through the sickness and through the death, but they saw the glory of God through the healing and the resurrection. And, you know, you think about the Bible tells you what your hope of glory is. You remember what the Bible says your hope of glory is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Christ means, what does the word Christ mean? The anointed one or the anointing. The Christ, the anointing in you is the hope of glory. Now, some people read that and they think, well, that means when I got Christ in me, that gives me glory. No, that doesn't. That gives God glory. The anointing, the Christ, the anointing working in you is what brings glory to God. And I'll tell you something, when the anointing is working in you, sickness can't hang around. Because the anointing destroys the yoke. And when the anointing touches sickness, sickness leaves. And that is the hope of glory. That's what brings glory to God, is in the healing and in the resurrection, not in the sickness and in the disease. But people insist on staying sick. Sometimes you want to pray for folks and they won't even let you pray for them because they said, well, I think God's getting glory out of this. But you just watch them same religious liars that tell you that in the morning they're going to go to the doctor and spend all the money and take every pill they can find trying to get rid of this thing that they told you yesterday was giving God glory. Well, let's not be a hypocrite. If you really believe it's bringing glory to God, quit trying to get well. But if you're going to try to get well, if you're going to go to doctors and try to get well, you certainly ought to come to church and try the same thing and say, I read in the Word of God, Jesus said, the elders of the church anoint me. And you know, that's what the Bible says in James 5:14. If is there any sick among you? Now to me, any includes everybody. That means anybody in a church that gets sick ought to get the elders to pray for them. And so, you know, your hope of glory is Christ in you. When the anointing is working in you, it brings glory to God. And then you remember in Romans 1 and 16, it says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. Gospel means good news. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. That word salvation not only means getting born again, getting your sins forgiven, going to heaven when you die. That same Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, also means healing. It also means deliverance. And so that's the good news concerning healing and deliverance. Now, I've got a number of scriptures here that I just want to turn to, and I won't spend much time on any of them, but I put them in order so you can just start. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 61. We'll read one scripture there, then we're going to go back to the New Testament and just look through several that come in order as we go back. Isaiah chapter 61. And these are all, as far as I'm concerned, do away with the notion that by us staying sick, it's somehow going to bring glory to God. Because in the Bible, that's not what brings Him glory. Remember, Christ in you, the anointing working in you is the hope of glory. That's what glorifies God. I tell you, when believers lay hands on the sick and the sick recover, that glorifies God. When the elders of the church anoint the sick with oil and they're healed, that glorifies God. And in Isaiah 61, and reading, beginning at the first verse, it says, this might sound familiar to you. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. In other words, God has anointed me to preach the gospel, preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year. When Jesus quoted this in his own church in the city of Nazareth, he said, and to preach healing to the blind. And it says in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, does that sound like God wants you to stay all beat down and sad and sick and lonely and broke? No, he said he's going to give you beauty for ashes. He's going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. He's going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now, what glorifies God is when those that are mourning are anointed with the oil of joy. And when those that have a spirit of heaviness put on the garment of praise, that glorifies God. And when them that are sitting around in ashes put on beauty instead. And when the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear, I'll tell you what, it glorifies God. We see it right here. Jesus started His preaching ministry with this scripture right here. Stood up His own church in the city of Nazareth. They gave Him the book. He opened the book. He found the place where it was written in Isaiah chapter 61, just like I just did just now. I believe Jesus knew before He stood up exactly what He was going to read. He knew what His scripture was. They brought Him the book. He read His scripture. And He said, this day this is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, look and go back to Matthew. Go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Matthew 15. And Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30 and 31. Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31. And it says, And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. Insomuch that the multitudes wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Notice they didn't start glorifying Him until the folks got healed and the lame walked and the blind saw and all that. That's when they glorified God. Every time I've been to the hospital and prayed for somebody, it's got a real touch from God. I tell you, it happens a lot of times. They know that God touched them. And you know what? What they always want to say is, glory to God, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, or something like that. Because it brings glory to God when that happens. And then in Mark chapter 2, Matthew, Mark chapter 2, and verse 10. Mark 2 and verse 10. Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw nothing like this before in our church. We don't do it this way over at our church. But when they saw that, they glorified God. That's what brings glory to God. In Luke chapter 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke 7, verse 14. Luke chapter 7 and verse 14, I'll find it myself. He came and he touched the bear. This is in the city of Nain. They're bringing this young dead boy down the street in the funeral procession. Jesus came and he touched the bier, and they that bear him stood still, and he said, he's talking to a dead man. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. If you'd been there watching that, what would you have said? Glory to God. And he delivered him to his mother, and they came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, this is a great prophet. It rises, is risen up among us that God hath visited his people. Ain't that something? Let's see. I wasn't going to read this, but since we're right here, the thought came to me back over in Matthew, and I didn't even remember I had a scripture in Luke 7. But see, and at the end of this session, John the Baptist had sent some folks down to inquire and see, because he had heard about the things Jesus was doing. And he sent some of his fellows down there and said, go check and see, ask him if he is really the Messiah. Because I've heard that he's doing some strange things. And so they went and asked him. Now, Jesus in verse 22, verse 21, and then that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. Well, go back to, just read verse 20. When the men that were coming to him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now this John had prophesied over him at the Jordan River and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." A couple of years later, he's sending his guys down there and said, "John sent us down here to ask you if you're really the one, or should we be looking for somebody else?" And verse 21, "And in that same hour," here's how Jesus responded to that. They asked Jesus that question. Here's how he responded. "In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight." I want you to see, Jesus, what's going on here. Them guys come ask Jesus. Say, "John the Baptist, he just raised a dead man up off of his, out of his casket." Guy stood up and spoke and got out of the casket. And then these guys came and said, "John the Baptist said, come down here and ask you if you're really him, or should we be looking for somebody else?" And it sounds like in the Bible, Jesus didn't even answer them. He started healing folks. He started healing people. It says right there in verse 21. It says, 7 verse 21, "In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them." You know, sometimes a good demonstration is worth a lot of words. "Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me." Jesus knew that John the Baptist, being the greatest Old Testament prophet there was, he knew what Isaiah 61 said about the Messiah. He said, "Now, go back and tell him what you just saw. He'll be able to figure it out." Because, you see, it was that healing and that miracle-working power that brought glory to God. Then over in Luke chapter 13, in Luke 13, the Bible says, "Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established." So say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 shouldn't be bad. In Luke chapter 13, and I could have given you a lot more than what I'm giving you. I just picked a few at random here. Luke 13 and verse 10. And it says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said unto her, woman." Now Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. He saw a woman that's all bent over, had osteoporosis real bad, couldn't straighten up. She'd been that way 18 years, and I'd probably been going to that church all that time. When Jesus saw her, he wanted to say something to her. Now, some of you are getting to the point that when you see folks that's all bent over and all out of shape and all sick, you say, "I'd like to tell you something. I'd like to share something with you." And when Jesus saw her, he called her unto him and he said, "Woman." Now, remember, this woman probably didn't know who he was. He's some rabbi there, some Bible teacher come in their church that day. He was teaching the Word of God in their synagogue. Probably invited in. He wasn't at home. And he calls her up there and said, "Woman, you're loose from this infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. And she said, "Oh, I wish I could be bent over again so I could glorify God." No. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I tell you what, when you get healed, man, it's hard not to glorify God. Hallelujah. And then in, what was that, 13, yeah, chapter 17 of Luke. Chapter 17 of Luke and verse 14. It says, "And when he saw them," I'm starting in the middle of most all these because they're familiar to you. This is when he healed the 10 lepers. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks." He was a Samaritan. Once again, healing, glorified God. Chapter 18 of Luke, verse 41. 18 and verse 41. I tried to get a lot of these in one book so we wouldn't have to turn so many pages. Verse 41 says, "Saying, what will thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight." You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. He asked this, and it's strange that Jesus would ask a blind man, what would you have me do for you? He said, Lord, he knew what he wanted. You know, that's what he got too, wasn't it? But, you know, not only you have not because you ask not, but generally what you ask for is what you get. I guarantee you could go up to, you could stand in a church and teach the Word of God and teach the healing power of Jesus today, and there's some blind people you could walk up to and say, what would you have me do for you? And they'd say, well, would you buy me a new white cane? Mine's about wore out. Well, it's because of they hadn't been brought up to a level to be expecting that the body of Christ to minister healing to them. But this man knew just what he needed, and Jesus said to him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I'll tell you, healing, the healing power of God brings praise and glory out of people. And then that was in chapter 18. Then look in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4 and 21. Let's don't go to 21. You ever heard about leaping and shouting and praising God? All right. And so that had just happened over here. And let me get the book of Acts. I'm still in John. Excuse me. Acts chapter 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And see, in 3 is where, just look in 3 a minute, starting at the first verse. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walking, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I tell you, it's hard to get a healing like that and just be calm. But then over in 4 and 21, Peter and John are still dealing with this same situation here. And it says, and so when they had further threatened them, they let them go. See, they called before the Sanhedrin for disturbing the church service there when that guy got healed. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. I'll tell you what, the leaders in the church got upset about what happened, but all the people that saw it were still glorifying God over what they had seen. They had seen that old fellow that they'd been seeing sitting out there crippled for all them years. Boy, was you here the day he run up and down the church aisle? Somebody said, yeah, and he's still walking. Did you notice? Been crippled all of his life. That folks are still glorifying God. Now back up. I saved the one in the book of Psalms till last. Back up to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm 50. I have a good message I preach out of Psalm 50 sometimes. I don't have time for it here right now. But it's in that Psalm 50 that God said, I won't take any bullock out of your house or he-goats out of your fold, because all the cows on 1,000 hills are mine. And I got a good sermon out of that. God don't need your bull. All right, but in Psalm 50 and verse 15, it says, And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things, it says in Jeremiah 33:3. He said, I'll deliver you. When you call on me, I'll deliver you. And then you'll glorify me. That'll glorify me. It will. And in verse 23 it says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And salvation, that same word means healing is a part of salvation. And in glorifying and healing, the glory of God is demonstrated. And in glorifying God, it's glorified through salvation and manifest in healing. All right. So people say, this sickness, my sickness, is glorifying God. They need to read the Word of God, and they need to find out. I tell you, you know, the fact that God gives you strength to bear up to certain things and all that, and healing is often a process, and sometimes with some people it's a long process. But the thing is, the sickness is not what's bringing glory to God. The strength and the grace He's given you sometimes does, but ultimately that will manifest itself. You're on the road to healing. That's why you can hang on, because you know this is not this. The doctor said this is terminal. I got to reading in the Word of God, and I read something different. and then you are a testimony, and give glory to God. Now let me. I'm not going to stay too much longer here, but I got just a few more minutes, and I want to get down to deal with just a couple other of these. It won't be quite that long. Next roadblock. I believe it's number six. Sickness is God's chastening. Sickness is God. Glenn making goat noises back there. Sickness is God's chastening. look at Hebrews 12 and 6. It talks about the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 6, and I could have just quoted it to you, know what it says, but I like you to see these things in your Bible. It says, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And some people then, they use that to show that, well, this sickness I've got, this is God's chastening, and God's given me this sickness because He loves me. But they don't understand, they think about chastening as some terrible thing that happens to you. But the word chasten, if you look it up in W.E. Vine's dictionary or any good Bible dictionary, you'll find that that word chasten means to teach, to educate, to train, as a father does a child, and it is always done with a hand of love. Now, no father is going to break his kid's leg to teach him something. No father is intentionally going to give his child a disease to try to teach him something. What you teach them with love. In fact, when you discipline a child, you need to do. There needs to be some hugs and kisses after the chastening. That's part of the chastening. That's part of the learning process. And go to the Word of God. And share the word and explain to your kids why we're taking the action we are. You haven't done it right. We have to teach you some things here. But another thing about chastening, that's educational type punishment, if you want to call it that, correction. It always needs to be done quickly and over with. I don't care what your kids do, you shouldn't keep punishing them for 6 months for the same thing. And you should take care of it, read the Word of God over it, let them know you love them, and get it over with, and let's go on with life. Now, but see, people will take this idea that God chastens His children, which He does. But now, it's just like with your natural kids. If they won't listen, sometimes it does last longer. But the point is, God chastens us with the Word of God, but a lot of times what happens, what we think is really chastening, it's just like when a kid at home, and a lot of times the parents tell them, don't do this. Well, they're just determined they're going to do it, but they'll do it when mom and dad is not watching. And so then they wind up getting, we'll just use an example and make it a small child, and they've been told time and again, don't put your hand on a hot stove. Well, when mom and dad is not watching, they say, I'll show them. They told me I couldn't do this. I'm going to do it. Well, you know what happened? They're going to get their hand fried. if they would try to do like a lot of Christian people do, to blame sickness on God, then they'd go around and tell folks that you put their hand on the stove to teach them. No, you didn't. They got out from under the umbrella of your protection when they refused to listen to your word. And Christians, people still do that today. God, He's given us the outline in the book how to live. And I tell you, living this stuff has a whole lot more to do with how you live, how successful your life is, than what you are quoting and what you're praying. Now, all that's important, but what you live in is a whole lot more important. You can be quoting all these scriptures and not living by the Word of God, and you're not going to come out too good. You know, you can be saying that I'm blessed going out and coming in and all that stuff, and God's opened the windows of heaven and poured me out a blessing and rebuked the devourer for my sake. And I say, well, have you been paying your tithes? No. Well, you know, you should claim in that scripture that was not for you. That scripture was for them that's doing it, right? All right? So the idea that chastening is of God, people really don't understand what chastening is all about, and I think that's enough on that subject. Next one, let me just deal with it real quickly. Basing your healing, this is another roadblock, basing your healing on your goodness. There's a plus and a positive and a negative side to this. Or you could be doubting that God will heal you because of your lack of goodness. Some people think, well, God will heal me because I'm good. Listen, healing, the same word sozo, salvation, means to be saved. It means to be healed. How many know what kind of results you'll get thinking you're going to get to go to heaven because you're good? You're not going to get there. What you have to do is sooner or later figure out that you're not, and tell God about it and accept Jesus as the one that paid the price for that, and that you're not just, but he will justify you. If you hadn't been being here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, you need to be here and get some teaching in the book of Romans, right? But this idea, if you get to thinking that you're healed because of your goodness, and you might be pretty good. You might be a good Christian, a good dedicated church member, and try to serve God the best you can. But if you're basing your healing on that fact, then you're in for trouble. Or if you're doubting it because you don't think you're good enough, it's also a roadblock. You see, you don't get healed because you're good. I've said this in here before. God doesn't heal you because you're good. He heals you because he's good. It's the mercy of God that brings healing, not your goodness. And you remember in Ephesians 2 and 8, I'll just quote you a few scriptures to get through here to save time, but you remember in Ephesians 2, 8, it says that, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you ever got healed based on your works and your good works and how good you were, you'd really have something to brag about, but you're never going to get there. It's the grace of God that does it, but through your faith. And then, let me remind you of Psalm 107. We used it in here a couple of weeks ago. Verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. Remember that? And delivered them from all their destruction. But you go back to verse 17. It says, fools, because of their iniquities and because of their transgressions, are afflicted. Now, it's a fact. When you do foolish things, you'll get in trouble. But it says, and it says they're, they draw near to the gates of death, and their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. In other words, they're so sick they can't even eat. They're on death's door. It says, but then they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them and sent his word and healed them. That was people that had got themselves in the mess themselves because of their own foolishness, but still when they cried unto God, the Lord heard them, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Why did he do that? Because you're good? No, because he's good. And because of his mercy and his grace. But see, you have not because you ask not, and you have to ask in faith. If you ask in faith, if you don't ask in faith, then the Bible says you're wasting your time, and let not that man think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. I told about this a little bit in here Sunday night, and then many of you read the article in Sunday's newspaper right there on the front page, and then it was continued in the back. But a lady that lives right here in Concord, she had married, and her and her husband had moved off up north someplace in Maryland. Yeah, that's not really north, is it, Barbara? But it's north of here. Anyway, she wound up coming down with AIDS. Well, come to find out, she knew she hadn't done anything that would open the door for her to have AIDS, so she asked her husband, and finally he admitted that he had not been staying at home. And she had gotten it from him. And so here she's on death's door. She was over here at Presbyterian Hospital. She had gone through a process of this, getting worse and worse. And over here at Presbyterian Hospital, she was so weak that she had lost down to way below 100 pounds, and they didn't even know what she weighed now because she was so weak they couldn't even get her out of bed to weigh her, and had that death rattle in her throat, and the shadow of death was there. And she prayed. And she said, this is all in the Concord and Kannapolis paper, believe it or not, and it was written up pretty good. She said, when I prayed, a presence came in the room and said, and the Lord said to me, Well, when she prayed, what she said, she said, Lord, I want to live. Fools because of their iniquities and transgressions. Now, in this case, she wasn't the foolish one, except she might have not been too smart when she married the sorry rascal. Anyway, they right at death's door, but the Bible says, but then they call upon the Lord, and the Lord hears them. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. But how are you going to call on him if you hadn't heard about him? How are you going to hear unless somebody preaches it? See, a lot of people know to call on Jesus as Savior that don't know to call on him as their healer because they hadn't had it preached to them. Well, they got a Bible at the house. They just better get to reading it themselves if they hadn't gotten a preacher to preach it to them. And the Lord said to her then, he said, you're not going to die. I don't know if she even knew about Psalm, what is 117 verse 18 or 18 verse 19 or one of them. I don't know but the Lord said to her, you're not going to die. You're going to live and glorify me. That's what he said, bring glory to me. If Sunday's paper, there it is. You're not going to die. You're going to live and bring glory to me. That brings us right back to our first roadblock, doesn't it? Did you know the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that says for a righteous man, there's not too many people that would die, and there's a few people that would die for a good man. But it says that Jesus, while we were yet sinners, died for us. And I tell you, it was while we were yet sinners, he took that beating for our healing. Your healing is not based on your goodness. Now, sometimes not living right will get you in trouble. But it's based on the goodness of God. And you remember John 3:16-17, for God so loved the what? World. Now that's not the church. That's that other bunch out yonder. The world is not the ones that's in here tonight. The world is the ones out yonder at the wrong places tonight. God loved them so much. But see, that don't leave you out because you used to be one of them, didn't you? All right. God loved us so much in that situation that he sent his own son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting zoe, the life and nature of God, life with no sickness in it. And then Mark 16:15, Jesus said to us, he said, go ye therefore into all the world, there's the world again, and preach the gospel to every creature. You want to know what's out in the world? Creatures. You've seen some of them. You take a look at them, man, that is a creature there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be sozo saved. He that believeth not. And then he says, and then lay your hands on the sick and they'll recover, is one of the things he said, right? And so thank God for the healing power of God. And I thank God that I believe it's God's will to heal tonight. And I believe it's his will to meet any need in your life. We read in Isaiah 61 all the things he wants to do for us. Joy of gladness for them that are mourning. Beauty for ashes. And then Jesus came and he told them, said, go back and tell John the Baptist what you've seen me doing. He'll know who I am. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the anointing comes, I'll tell you what, the anointing destroys the yoke. That thing that's been holding you down, whether it's sickness, whatever it is, that anointing of God will break that.